Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And today we are going to talk about Season 44, Episode 8, air date December 8th, 2018. Jason Momoa hosting, Mumford & Sons musical guesting.
Woo!
Yeah! I'm excited.
Ki-yi!
Aquaman's hosting.
I know, finally. Right.
My man.
We could talk about Justice League another time. Like, but that he seemed to bring that same energy at the end of Aquaman. At the end of Justice League that he did for this show, though.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed. I'll give him that.
He was super enthusiastic. Even in the promos, he was like,
yeah.
He was like so pumped, and it was kind of endearing.
Yeah, he was like a Spartan cheerleader.
Yeah,
he was just bouncing off the walls like macho man Randy Savage in his heyday.
He was fanboying out. He was like, "Yeah, I'm here. I get to host SNL. This is awesome.
Radicool."
Excuse me.
I imagine he says Radicool at some point.
Yeah, he probably does. He seems like a guy who would say Radicool.
Yeah, he does. Apparently, he's like, is it just me, or does it seem like there's more and more sort of, you know, handsome, muscle-bound dudes getting into comedy.
Do you have other examples?
I do. There's The Rock.
I've heard of him.
He's doing he doesn't do just comedy, but he dips his toe into comedy now.
He's got some comedic chops. I mean, I don't think his acting career would be where it is if he didn't do so well on SNL, personally.
That's true. John Cena.
I've heard of him.
The Wrestler.
Yes.
Wrestles and he does comedy.
He has also been in some movie films.
Yeah, and he does the comedy. The Blockers.
The Blockers. He was in the Amy Schumer movie.
The Amy Schumer, Tina Fey, Sisters?
No, the thing that Bill Hader was in.
Amy Schumer.
The Romance.
Trainwreck.
Yes.
He was in Trainwreck, too, and he does Dave Bautista.
Okay.
Drax from Guardian, he's doing comedy now.
Yes, okay.
Our Chris Hemsworth, all these handsome, muscle-bound men are getting into the comedy world, and I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Should we be working out more? Is that what we're doing wrong?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, for health, yeah.
Should we be lifting weights, like pumping iron while we do the show?
Yeah, so I got to write jokes and get a Planet Fitness gym membership?
Yes.
That's not why I got into the game, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Because really, yeah, comedy should be our thing.
Thank you.
The thing of the out of shape.
Thank you. Out of shape.
Guys who...
Pudgy, pasty nerds.
Right.
Like us. And
I don't think of you as pasty, I got to say.
Well, I was... probably think of something else.
Okay.
As I looked at you. But I feel like it's all these muscle-bound people getting into our world, and I'm not here for it.
Right.
I don't care for it.
Are you taking a stand against it?
Yes, I am. Okay. I'm taking a stand. All you muscle-bound guys, get out of our comedy world.
Darren is calling you out, muscle-bound guys.
That's right. Yeah. Who's with me? Hello?
I guess I'm with you.
There you go.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like us against muscle bound guys. That right there it seems like kind of a mismatch.
Yeah, but I mean, with there's strength in numbers. With two of us together, we can take on the world. You know, like didn't you see Jerry Maguire when he left the agency and was like, "Who's coming with me?" And then
I saw Jerry Maguire. That was the movie where Cuba Gooding Jr. like got severely injured at the end and then was doing like backflips.
All right.
Right after. He probably had massive brain damage after the closing credits of that movie.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're going to take that away from it, yeah. But, I mean, at the end, his manager got some money. So
and really, isn't that what it's all about?
Thank you.
Okay.
Was that the point I was trying to make? I don't even remember.
Yeah. No, okay. Let's say it was.
Okay. Done.
Okay. So Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa.
So we had the cold open. We started out with Eric and Donald Trump Jr., which it's become one of the go-tos of the show.
It's grown on me.
They got an applause break when Donald Trump Jr. entered into Eric's bedroom.
Yeah.
Because people like recognized him and they were like happy and excited to see them. They were like, oh boy, it's a Trump boys.
Trump boys.
Damn you, Trump boys.
Just a good old boy.
But
yeah, like, I mean, it seemed that they got these, you know, these mainstay characters now. And mm-hmm. I'm warmed up to them.
Yeah.
I like the way that they portray Eric and Don Jr.
I like what Mikey Alex Moffat Day is doing with those characters.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
And yeah, I mean, I like how they have Eric always is just the repressed kid. I mean, he had like a kiddie bed. It was like close to the ground in the bedroom.
And yeah, yeah.
And Donald Jr. starts to read him "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" to calm him down. Eric is he's nervous because he insists there's a boogeyman in his closet.
Yes.
And Donald Jr. opens the closet door, say, hey, "See, buddy, there's nothing in there." And another celebrity cameo, Mr. Robert De Niro as Mr. Robert Mueller.
Dun, dun, dun.
Another applause break because people are now they now recognize De Niro as Mueller.
Yeah. I don't know. Like every cold open, there's always like a cameo. So.
It seems like that's like one of the, I mean, because they've cast so many people in and around the Trump administration with other celebrities.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
I mean, people keep leaving and coming into this administration. Well,
and also, I was just thinking that the writers are just really in an interesting spot right now because they got to write about the Trump administration without having Trump because Alec Baldwin's not appearing too much as Donald Trump anymore.
Yeah, that's true. He only did it like once, right? Like last week?
I think he's been on like twice this season. I mean, I'd have to go back and double check and
yeah, that's true. I mean, but, I did notice like in the cold open they had like because above Eric's bed there was that framed picture.
There are pictures, yeah,
of him. So I was like, his aura is still there.
And the thing
there.
where Jeff Sessions was saying goodbye, they had like flashbacks with him. But yeah. Like, I mean, he appeared last week in the sketch in the Argentina. Yeah, for the G20 summit, but. I think he's only appeared like one other time this season, if I remember correctly.
That's interesting.
So, I don't know. It's kind of tricky.
It's definitely tricky to do a Trump sketch without Trump.
Yeah, I mean.
But, yeah. But yeah, Robert De Niro, a.k.a. Robbie Mulls.
Mm-hmm. Robbie Mulls. I like that.
One. You like it?
I like that.
Hashtag it, people. Robbie Mulls.
Robbie Mulls. Robbie Mulls. So then Donald, he goes out of the room to talk to his lawyer, and he's like, "Wait, well, how bad is it? Well, can I flip on him?"
Yeah.
And then Robert Mueller is talking with Eric, and then
I don't know. Did it distract you the way De Niro was kind of reading off the cue cards? Or the teleprompter, I guess.
I'm kind of used to that. De Niro has now appeared on the show enough that I know he's not going to be the most natural at that.
Yeah. I mean, so, it's one of the things, like, it's De Niro, so you give him a pass. But, like,
yeah,
I've seen him, he's like, he's just straight up reading. He's not even hiding it. He's just reading right off the teleprompter.
Some people are better at it than others. I mean, from what I understand, that's, like, the big way they do the show is they largely, I mean, because there's no time to really memorize it.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That's true. All right.
It's Bobby. But, like you said, it's De Niro, so we give him a pass.
Bobby Mulls. We'll give him a mulligan on this one.
Yeah, and
mulligan.
Yeah, no, I liked De Niro trying to explain to Eric what's happening, and Eric, of course, he doesn't understand words like indict and
indict coke.
Yes, yes, and
there's like, no sugar in diet.
And it's Eric says, "Good people like my dad," and Mueller just says, "Let's put a pin in that for right now."
Yeah, that was all right. That was a good line.
That was a good line. And they say that you're the worst thing to ever happen to my dad, and he goes, "No, being president is the worst thing to ever happen to your dad." Huh. And that got an applause break.
Yeah, yeah.
Because,
people
get behind that idea.
Yeah, it seems to be popular now.
Yep, 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 yep. You know,
on the coast.
I thought it was, you know, pretty solid opening.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad.
And, then the credits, and then Jason Momoa comes out for the monologue in his, lovely pink pants.
And he was barefoot.
Barefoot
on the Studio 8H floor, just walking around.
He's just breaking all kinds of rules.
He's a rebel.
My God.
He's dangerous. That's why the ladies like him so much.
You're crazy, Riggs. You're crazy.
He's dangerous.
Yeah, just a pink leather jacket. No, the white leather jacket.
And pink pants.
And pink pants. And like
no salmon colored.
Yeah, and no shoes. Just
and
his wild mane flowing free.
That's right.
And beautiful piercing eyes. And what?
Yes.
Sorry.
We got lost in his eyes. He's obviously like very enthusiastic. He declared himself early in the monologue an SNL super nerd.
Yeah.
An SNL super nerd, which I was very excited to hear.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to take that as him plugging the podcast.
Absolutely. Jason Momoa approved SNL nerds.
Kid tested, Jason Momoa approved.
Yeah. Now, will we have him on the podcast in the future? I don't know. You'll have to listen and find out, won't you?
We're going to do our damnedest to get him on next week.
I'll text
him.
Because
we're in touch with Jason Momoa's people.
Yeah. So Jason Momoa's people reach out to us and...
He's Aquaman, so we're talking to all the fish that we know in hopes that he will get the message.
I had a great conversation with a cod.
I'm talking to the crabs I know.
Oh.
And, not that kind of crabs.
I don't know.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
I don't know what you do on the weekends.
I record this. Saturday nights I'm watching SNL, and Sundays I'm recording this. it's a thrilling life I lead.
So he came out at 80, and he opened a jar of pickles for 80 Bryant while he stared at her.
Yes, stared into her eyes, and I think that went into her spank bank.
Yeah, I guess women don't call it a spank bank.
I don't know what they call it. I mean, honestly, the rest of the monologue was kind of a blur for me because I was like, he said SNL super nerd! And I was like, I gotta tweet about this.
just crying, like, I made it.
I was like, I'm just going to take this as a plug. promotional opportunity I'm getting on Twitter.
How many retweets?
But then Kenan Thompson, Chris Redd, and Leslie Jones, they came out, and they were dressed as like a 70s funk band.
Yeah.
And they were singing a song called Aqua Booty.
Aqua Boogie.
Boogie?
Aqua Boogie.
Oh, I thought it was Aqua Booty.
I think it's Aqua... No, it's Aqua Boogie. Because I looked it up. Okay. Because
it's a real song you were talking
about. It's a real song. Because the way they were describing it, we can sing Aqua Boogie off the album, blah, 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 from Parliament Funkadelic. The way they went to all the details, that's a lot of details. That's a real song.
It's a Parliament Funkadelic song?
It's a Parliament song. But it is. It's a Parliament song.
Okay. Now we're going to have to back up a minute okay. here. What is the difference between Parliament and Parliament Funkadelic?
Did
one evolve into the other?
I think so. I could be wrong. I'm not a huge... Parliament fan. I know some of their stuff and I respect them all, but I know there's Parliament, and then I think it broke off and became Funkadelic, and then at some point it became Parliament Funkadelic.
Like they merged back together?
Yes.
Okay.
like a merger.
I had no idea.
Like the way...
This is amazing.
Like the way Taco Bell and KFC are one thing sometimes, or Baskin Robbins and a Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
But I don't know. It's something like that in some type of order like
this,
that.
It's funny that this came up this week because last week I went to see our friend John Minus, friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Happy birthday, John.
He had his birthday last week. I went to a little birthday thing, and he suggested that we have a segment on here where you explain parts of black culture to me.
Ooh.
Okay. And so this Parliament Funkadelic, that could be our segment in that for this week.
I like that idea, but for stuff like this, I'd have to look this. We'd have to have another black person to explain this to me.
So you're not black enough to explain black stuff to me? Is that what you're saying?
In some regard, some things I know. Okay. Hip hop and like 90s hip hop and The Last Dragon, of course.
Okay.
But when it comes to Parliament Funkadelic, I know they have huge following, and I know a lot of their stuff inspired 90s West Coast rap. But as far as their works and their body of work, I'm spotty on.
Okay.
So I'm going to do some homework on this.
All right.
And I will come back and I will explain it to you.
All right. Tune in next week for the Parliament Funkadelic Minute.
That's right.
Darren Patterson.
The Funkadelic Minute.
The Funkadelic Minute with Darren Patterson. got the funk. Yeah.
What's up, baby? baby.
I'm honestly still depressed that it wasn't Aqua Booty.
I
thought that was a wonderful title.
If it makes you feel any better, that song Aqua Boogie is off the LP Motor Booty Affair.
Okay, that's a great title. Booty Affair.
Yeah, I know this about Parliament Funkadelic. The word booty is in most of their songs.
Okay.
Nine times out of ten, the word booty or boogie is in the title of a song.
Do they have a song called Booty Boogie?
Boogie, ooh, wow.
They should, right?
That's a mind bender. I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
If they haven't, can we cut a single called
Let's do it.
Booty Boogie?
Let's do it.
All right.
I'll get my bass.
All right, we're gonna drop the first single.
We're gonna drop the funk, people.
On one of the skip weeks, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
So look for that in 2019.
Yeah.
So let's see. Next we had the first sketch, which was elves on a shelf. Elf on a shelf, and there are three elves on shelves. That's tough to say. Reporting back to Santa Claus. We had Melissa Villaseñor, Mikey Day, and Mr. Jason Momoa as the
J-Moma.
He was Scrappy, an elf who has been watching a particular kid for 13 years, and his child has just discovered masturbation.
Right. I mean, they never say it, but you know.
Yes. Well, this is going back to my axiom of a few weeks ago that when you are in a hole in a sketch,
yeah,
you go to the masturbation.
Go to whacking it.
Hole. Just whacking it.
You said hole in the sketch.
I did. So, yeah, when in doubt, you go with masturbation. When in doubt,
rub it out.
Which is, you know, a good rule for sketch comedy and probably a good rule for life,
I would say. Pretty much.
You know, that's just...
We're in a pickle, you grab that pickle.
And Scrappy, he wants to be assigned to another kid because he feels very awkward watching the things that he does when he's alone in his bedroom.
Yeah, and at one point he gave Santa his kid's wish list.
Yeah.
And Santa's like, oh, you spelled flashlight wrong.
No.
Yeah, see, that's a thing. I don't think everybody knows. I mean, I think enough people got that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he meant that.
A particular product that sounds very much like flashlight.
I think, do enough people know what that is, though? Like a
flashlight? I don't know. Hmm. I got the joke.
Okay.
I will say.
Okay. And then I think he also,
I was aware of that product.
Okay. I'm not accusing you.
Yeah. I wasn't taking it as an accusation. I was just, I am aware that that product exists. That is.
I wasn't expecting a Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, that's.
Nobody expects. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's. But the existence is all I'm familiar with on that product.
Gotcha.
Let me just say that for the record.
Okay, gotcha.
Because, yeah, you don't want to be that guy.
No. Oh, and then he also asked for soft socks.
Oh, yes.
And I got that, too.
And he says, Santa will get him the softest socks imaginable. And he says, yeah, they're not going to stay that way for long. Yeah, going with the masturbation sketch right off the bat.
Right off the rip.
Yeah.
It's ballsy. Ballsy move.
But, you know, it was funny. It had some laughs. And, you know, the blue screen, the green screen effects worked well. Or, you know, where they have everybody reduced so they're sitting on the shelf next to Santa.
Yeah. Not bad. That was all right.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad sketch.
Yeah, it was all right. Let's see. Next, we had a GE commercial.
Yeah.
With Jason Momoa, because the premise behind this was housework, because there's so many more women in the workforce these days, where like 50% of women are the breadwinners, that housework is man's work.
Right.
So these were all men's products.
Yeah, men's household appliances.
Yeah.
So it's called GE Big Boys, and it was like... you know, like a washing machine that's like 6 feet tall, runs on gas.
Yeah, everything was diesel powered. He had a riding vacuum cleaner looking like a riding lawnmower. And they're all in like yellow and black. It looks very Black and Decker.
Yeah, very much so. I like the sketch. I thought it was a cool kind. It kind of reminded me also of like once in a while I've seen stuff in stores that's like... that's labeled supposed to be geared towards men. Like there's this one product. Have you ever heard of Powerful Yogurt?
No, I don't
it's
think so.
It's in some stores. It's some, you know, Quick Check and stuff. But it's like a yogurt that's geared toward, like a yogurt that's for men.
Uh-huh.
And it's in like a black container, has like, you know, painted pictures of abs on it. And it's like, you know, its nickname is Brogurt.
Okay.
I swear it's a real thing.
I had no idea. This is amazing.
I swear it's a real thing. But it's like, it's supposed to have like protein and vitamins and stuff that's supposed to specifically help men. So it's like a yogurt for dudes.
So like if you feel wussy eating the Activia.
Yeah, very much.
The yogurt that makes Jamie Lee Curtis poop.
Yeah, exactly.
You can go with the Brogurt.
Yeah, and feel like a real man eating yogurt with a spoon. I swear this is a real thing.
I don't doubt you.
I looked at it, I was like, really? You gotta be that, you know, just eat regular yogurt, man.
I've never really considered yogurt a big threat to my masculinity.
Apparently somebody does.
But maybe that's why I'm not a huge muscular comedy star.
Like
John Cena or The Rock.
You could be the new Drax if you just yogurt it up.
They're probably going to need a new one, you know?
Yeah, darn too. Yeah. Darn tootin'.
Yep, darn tootin' for the week.
I almost said it. I almost said it, and then I caught myself. I was like, I'll just say it. And I also seen another thing where it's like, they have this thing called Bic pens for her.
And those, like, I think I've heard
you have
of.
Seen yes. those, right? It's like a pen that's like for women. I'm like, why is this? It's a pen.
Yeah.
Women don't need like a special pen for themselves. It's
don't they though?
Oh,
don't they?
I don't need your cis male gender explaining, man. All pens matter. All pens are created equal. I don't know. All
right. Next sketch we had Khal Drogo's Ghost Dojo, which was like the parody of Jason's old Game of Thrones character.
This one I didn't get it that much just because I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I don't watch Game of Thrones either, so I only sort of know the things that sort of permeated the general culture.
Right.
So I was only able to half follow this one myself. I'm sure I would have found it much funnier if I'd been a Game of Thrones watcher.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, from what I got, it seemed like they were all people who died on Game of Thrones.
Right. They were talking to characters who've been killed off on Game of Thrones, and that's a show that's kind of infamous for killing off the characters in brutal, horrific ways.
So it seems like the whole sketch is kind of like one big spoiler alert. If you've never seen it, you don't plan on seeing it, it's whatever, but if you're like maybe like still in the first season and you're watching this, it's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if there was somebody who got horribly spoiled on Game of Thrones.
I feel like I'm sure there's somebody out there that's like, "Oh, thanks a lot, jerks. I'm only on the first season, first episode. You went ahead and spoiled it."
I would love to see those tweets. That would be hilarious.
I'm sure there's somebody who's just like just a flaming rage, angry monster.
Yes.
Because of this. But I don't know, whatever.
So we had Jason Momoa as Khal Drogo, who apparently wasn't like a real verbal guy. He was like subtitled for everything he said. So I guess he didn't speak English on Game of Thrones.
Guess not.
Kenan Thompson was the co-host.
Mm-hmm.
Khal Drogo stabbed him at one point. So if you ever wanted to see Kenan Thompson get stabbed,
this is
the sketch
this
for
is
you.
Your sketch.
And then he resurrects.
Yeah.
Because I think they did that with Jon Snow.
Like a phoenix from the ashes.
Because I know Jon Snow was a very popular character. They killed him off and then they brought him back. Let's see, what else we had? We had Hodor come in.
Yeah.
Who was this big ogre type. And I know his name comes from Hold the Door.
Hold the Door. Yeah. It's a weird, I mean, the whole sketch is basically like a lot of references to Game of Thrones. And so if you...
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't watch, like I don't, and you're like, all right, I guess this is something that's on the show, and I guess that's a thing.
Pete Davidson comes on. I didn't get the name of his character. He looked like sort of albino-y. He got gold poured on him.
I guess that's a thing.
Let's see.
We were just clueless about the whole thing.
This I found funny. They had a fake commercial in there about the venue where the Red Wedding was held.
I know about the Red Wedding just because, I mean, I didn't see it, but I heard about it. That I know about.
I mean, that I know because it's like one of the big infamous things from Game of Thrones where it was like the Red Wedding, which was this big wedding in the show's universe, and I guess they're probably unifying two houses or, you know, whatever they do with the wedding. And then, everybody gets slaughtered there.
Yeah, I heard it's a massacre.
And apparently this was the big surprising plot twist on the show,
and
the books, and everyone's horrified.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember seeing like reaction videos for it online. Because I mean, I don't watch it, but my wife does, and I don't know if she saw that because even she was. I think that might have freaked her out. But like, I remember seeing like reaction videos for it, and like everybody was like, "This is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen." Everybody was freaked out by it.
Right. So in the fake commercial, they're saying like, "Hey, we've cleaned it all up, and hey, what are the odds of that happening twice?" which I thought was funny. And let's see, they had Kate McKinnon coming on as King Joffrey.
Right, I know him.
Who is the young king who was, I don't know, like 12 or 15 or what?
Yeah,
he was apparently a terror.
Yeah, I know him from social media and stuff. But from what I've heard, he was like the worst character. Horrible human being.
And Edie Bryant came on as, I think it was Queen Olenna, who I believe is Diana Rigg's character, judging from the way she was dressed, because she looked a lot like Diana Rigg from how I've seen her in previews and clips. I'm just guessing. That's just okay to guess.
I'm sure there's like some Game of Thrones fan listening right now. It's like, no, that's not right. You guys don't know what you're talking about. You guys are doing it wrong.
I hate this. I hope there's a Game of Thrones nerds podcast that we could like start a feud with.
Ooh.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Nerd Thrones or something. Yeah. Whatever you call them out there.
Yeah, Nerd of Thrones.
Nerd of Thrones. Yeah, I'm sure. All right. Hey, Game of Thrones nerds podcast, if you're listening, we're shots fired for you.
Yeah, that's right.
We are stomping all over your beloved show that we don't even watch.
Or maybe we're not. We don't even know. We know that little about the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we insulting the show? I don't know.
Yeah?
I don't know. So, they had King Joffrey and Olenna. They went kind of Jerry Springer.
I caught that. Like, oh, it's like a Jerry Springer.
So, I mean, this was cute. It was neat to see. It would have hit me more if I was any kind of Game of Thrones fan, but I'm not.
I know. I mean, the only thing I kind of like was like the end when they had, oh, and after the show, we got Talking Dojo.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, where Calamity was like, you know, Talking Dead style show.
Yeah, and then he was like, no more talking shows, and no more after shows. And I think he stabbed the guy.
He stabbed him, yeah. It's like, I got that because, like, I've, you know, that. The whole Talking Dead thing. That's mm-hmm. a thing that they're doing a lot more now, like after a show happens to have like, oh, let's talk about what you just saw. Like,
yeah, if it runs on AMC, they have an after show about it.
Absolutely. But even I think they're doing that like for some other shows too. Like I think This Is Us has it, but I think it's online and some other show. Like Mr. Robot I think have, but I think it's all online though.
So what do you think about these shows that like just deconstruct a show after they've seen them? I'm not for them myself. That's kind of sad, isn't it? You do a whole entire show where you're just talking about another show.
Yeah, but I mean, I understand the need for them because that does happen now in our, you know, internet society where like a show comes on and people just go automatically onto chat rooms and like, oh, did you see such and such?
But I mean, if you have a show with like, say, let's say two comedians, they want to talk about a particular show that they enjoy.
Right.
And they just spend, let's say, a podcast talking about this show.
I don't follow.
I don't know. It just seems like they would have a better use of their time.
I think, yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. But at the same time, I think those two comedians are have an awesome product and are looking to do great things.
Even if they don't work out as much as they should. These two hypothetical comedians.
These two hypothetical comedians. Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're saying. And, hey, why are you putting me? I'm not on trial here.
So next we had sort of a quickie sketch. It was a film segment with the Trumps.
Oh, yeah.
Which was basically asking the question, what if Donald Trump was black?
Right. Okay, so I'll explain this one to you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
It's basically if the Trumps were black. That's it.
Could you break it down a little more?
But no, I mean, I dug this one quite a bit because it's just like they like immediately get arrested after.
Yeah, it was Kenan Thompson as Darius Trump. They describe it as from the producers of Empire. And yes, they're abruptly arrested.
Well, them Trumps.
and then he comes back and he's like, hey, it turns out a sitting president can't be a prosecutor or whatever. And then this, oh, you've just been impeached. Yeah, I was waiting on that. and then roll the credits really quickly.
I got a kick out of that.
I enjoyed it. It was quick. It was funny. It was cool.
Quick, funny, boom.
Just in, out, boom.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I like it.
Next we had the musical guest, which were Mumford and Sons.
Yahoo.
I don't have much to say about them. I thought they were good. They were all folksy and jangly their first number.
See, I thought they were getting into more like the electric. I think didn't they go electric recently, and then that kind of bothered people.
They rocked out a little more on their second song.
Yeah.
Is
what they do rocking out really?
Well, the Mumford and Sons equivalent of rocking out,
okay.
Whatever they're,
yeah.
I mean, whatever you would call that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, just folksy dust bowl rock.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they got a guy with a banjo.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that was a thing for a while, that whole Dust Bowl, Grapes of Wrath rock scene for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just people in suspenders and banjos and, you know, playing jug.
Mid-2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Playing jugs and washboards at some point. Mm-hmm. And then, like, now it's kind of gone.
I think you were watching Hee Haw.
I Was that what the, is that what that was?
Yeah, you might have been watching Hee Haw.
Did Mumford & Sons not have a jug band at some point? And
they probably did. I don't know. Okay. That seems alternative
and weird and
artisanal enough.
It's like anybody can play an electric guitar, man. But yeah. Only a few people.
They're all playing mason jars.
Mason jars. Oh, God. Oh, what is that?
They all have long beards. And
God. There was one time, you know, there was one time when I was in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. I was in a bar, and like, no joke, I did see one guy wearing like a straw hat, like those, barbershop quartet singers. Like,
oh, okay, like, a boater.
What was it called?
I think they're called boaters.
Boater. I just said boner for a minute. But yeah, let's go. It's like, what? It's called a boat. Is that called a boater?
A boater.
He was wearing that in a bar, like, unironically, I think. And I was just like, dude, what are you? Stop that.
Yeah.
What are you trying to
prove? Some people just try too hard.
Really? Just like,
it's just,
I guess it's easier to wear a weird hat than to have a personality.
When you're breaking out the mustache wax to put in the little curly Q.
And it's like, yeah, we get it. You need attention. Thank you. You get it. I see you. You are here. Okay.
Yeah.
As you ride her off in your unicycle to your yurt in Bushwick or whatever.
Yes, eating your manly yogurt.
Yeah, eating your powerful yogurt.
Your bro yogurt.
Your brogurt. Oh, sweet brogurt.
So, but you know, that was Mumford & Sons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of them. Like,
neither am I, but I liked them.
They were good. Their music's just kind of just there.
I was just happy to have a musical guest I'd heard of.
Oh, I know them. It's not too, I'm still young. It's not too late.
I know. That's how I feel without the musical guests these days. I'm just like, okay, I guess they're a thing.
Travis Scott, you say. All
this
right.
This is what the kiddies are listening to.
All right. On their Zunes.
Yes. That's what they're listening to on the Spotify's.
Ooh. Oh, good golly.
Yeah. So next we had Weekend Update.
Yeah.
Which, you know, not a lot to talk about this week. Kind of an uneventful week.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, it's not, pretty quiet. I'm sure.
Not a whole lot going on.
Not a lot.
Not many huge news stories to comment on.
Nope.
Let's see. The joke I liked is, Colin just says, they released the teaser trailer for Trump Endgame. That warmed the cockles of our nerd hearts.
Yes, because we just we saw the Endgame trailer and
Avengers Endgame. Woo!
Ooh, boy. Yeah. Ooh, my ticket is bought.
Yes,
it's not even a question.
There was an interesting line early on where Colin just was saying that Trump's tweets about China managed to tank the entire stock market, and it was just nothing.
He just
laid there.
That, like, I don't, it was weird, because I think, like, maybe the audience didn't know if the joke was over or if they didn't get the joke.
I think most people just didn't get the joke.
Do people not know how the stock market works?
I feel like that story maybe just didn't get a lot of play, or maybe the audience in the studio just didn't follow the stock market or whatever.
Well, yeah, it was
so they just literally did not get it.
Yeah, I mean, Colin, he took it in stride. He was just like,
yeah, he just
laughing. Was like, wow, that really bombed.
Cracked up. Which I mean, when something bombs that horribly, that's all you can do, really. Yeah.
It was like, wow, that didn't get us anything.
I've certainly been there. I've had shows where I bombed, and then like halfway through, I was like, I started becoming amused by how badly I was bombing.
Stop worrying and love the bomb.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
I wouldn't know what that's like. I kill everywhere. I crush.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I've heard that about you.
24/7, baby. Boom.
Always, always funny.
Always be crushing.
Yep. We had Michael Che talking about...
Up in Days?
Sorry. We'll get to that.
I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah. He was also talking about the Trump thing, and he was talking about how Trump was trying to stop the Mueller investigation. What I like about Michael Che, he always seems to have a fresh take on what's going on in the news
that
I don't really hear anywhere else. And he's very good at that. So I've come to enjoy his segments a lot. And he was like, yeah, well, Trump trying to stop the investigation, that's worth a shot. And he's like, the scariest thing about Trump is he tries all the things I would try if I were president. And you know, I just love that. I really like the Michael Che.
Yeah, yeah. I'm way in with Che.
Yes.
Che all the way.
Che all the way.
Michael Che.
And let's see, we had our little guest segment. We had holiday travel trips, travel tips with Carrie Crum, who was an A.D. Bryant character.
Right.
Talking about her family trips all over.
Yeah, it was all right.
The joke here was basically she was supposed to give broad travel tips that anybody could do, but she was just talking all about things that were very specific to her trips and her family.
Right. Like, and it's like, oh, okay. It's a good segment.
You know, my cousin's neighbors are boys. And at like her Aunt Nancy's house, one of her brothers forgot his bathing suit and had to go in the hot tub in his tighty whities, and she could see his butt through his tighty whities. So those are very valuable travel tips.
Right. So
you know, it was cute.
It was cute. It was all right. It's like, oh, okay.
You know, it's no Jason the Bar Mitzvah boy.
You know. I've honestly felt like Vanessa Bayer was like
underrated.
She's kind of like she was like solid throughout her tenure, but she didn't get like, you know.
She didn't have any breakout characters, really.
No, I mean, well, the Bar Mitzvah Boy.
Bar Mitzvah Boy was good.
And she did a good Miley Cyrus.
Her Jennifer Aniston was amazing.
Yeah.
I always liked with the ex-porn stars that she did with Cecily Strong.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was her and Cecily Strong.
Oh, I thought that was somebody else.
Who do you think it was?
I don't know. I guess you're right. I guess it was.
But yeah, they'd always do it. It was like towards the end of the show, and they were just trying to do... they were advertising for products they didn't understand and couldn't pronounce, just in hopes of getting free stuff.
Exactly. And she did a good, once in a while she did this character where she was like a child actor, and then she kind of talked in that cadence that like child actors talking.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, we gotta save the thing. Like, yeah, like yeah, yeah. I can't do it, but like, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I don't know. I mean, I know, like, this, well, maybe we'll talk about it in another episode, but there's always like a few, like, cast members who like don't get the big spotlight, but
right,
like they're like just solid performers through
kind of under the radar.
Yeah,
and she was on the show a good long while too.
Yeah, she was on the show for a bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just Vanessa Bayer. Just we here at the SNL Nerds, we see you and we tip our hat to you.
Yes,
thank you.
And
end scene.
And let's see. There was another Michael Che line I really liked, where he was talking about Kevin Hart dropping out of the Oscars because, well, you know, Kevin Hart, apparently they went back to 2011.
Yeah, and
found some problematic tweets, as people do these days.
Yeah, they go back in your history and they dig. It's weird. And did you see what Nick Cannon... did his thing?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
that Nick Cannon. Like, oh.
Yeah, he went back and he did that for Amy Schumer and a couple other people.
Schumer.
Silverman. Sarah Silverman.
And Chelsea Handler, too.
Yes. And, where they, like, they used...
problematic.
Homophobic slurs, I guess you would call them.
Yeah, it's...
I mean...
The plot thickens.
Yeah. So, But
I don't think I heard this joke. So what did Che say about...
Che was talking about... He was basically saying... Well, if Kevin Hart can't host the Oscars, that means no black comic can host the Oscars
because
there's no one cleaner than Kevin Hart. He says, the only comic I know who's cleaner than Kevin Hart is booked for the next 3 to 10 years. And then they throw up a picture of Bill Cosby.
And everybody's like, eee!
Yeah, yeah. Great line, great observation.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
I mean, it is a little weird how... You know, we're now in a state where you can lose a job over a thing you said or wrote 5, 10, however many years ago, and it's like you have to have a spotless reputation for all time.
It is. Did they fire him or did he like quit?
The Academy asked him to apologize,
right,
and he refused to apologize, but then he stepped down as host. But he sort of issued an apology in his statement where he was stepping down as host.
Oh.
And he deleted the tweets. He deleted the tweets after he was announced as the Oscar winner. But, of course, like somebody had screen-capped him or whatever.
Yeah, like nothing is gone from the internet forever.
Yeah.
Like somebody's out there just screen-capping everything and not leaving their home.
And it's, you know, and it's so easy, especially something with like Twitter, where you don't really think of it staying up permanently.
Yeah.
Even if you delete it, I mean, because it's so you're on to the next thing
right,
so quickly.
But
yeah, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, as a comic, it's one. I don't like tweet that much. Like I'll tweet like where I'm doing shows and stuff. But mm-hmm. I'm always afraid of that, like putting out like jokes or maybe an idea for a joke I have. Because mm-hmm. like, well, for one thing, I'm afraid like that where somebody will misconstrue it and use it to come back after I of course make it big. But I'm also weird about like maybe somebody using it and claiming it as their own. Like they'll be like, oh, they'll like take my joke and then like copy and paste it and be like, oh, look at this funny thing I wrote. And like, I don't know. Like it's tricky beast.
Yeah. Actually, like there's a comic I know. Well, actually, I only know him online. Anthony Kapper. He wrote a very good joke, which was if Trump wanted Hillary to go to jail, he should have put her in his cabinet.
Oh yeah.
Or no, I'm sorry. I'm paraphrasing it. The phrasing was better. If Trump wanted Hillary to be locked up, he should have put her in his cabinet.
Right.
And that joke that got some traction, but it's also been stolen by a few people.
Right.
On Twitter and elsewhere. And I saw like some people that we knew were like calling those people out for that, and I was joking because I don't like joking.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And the weirdest thing was this happened like literally yesterday. Somebody else had taken the joke, but they changed it to, oh, if he wanted her locked up, he should have put her in his campaign, which isn't as funny.
Yeah,
and isn't as accurate.
Right.
And so I responded to like several of the tweets just saying like, oh, you shouldn't have ripped this off from Anthony.
Anthony Kapper.
And I used like the hashtag and I put like their screen name and put joke thief after it.
Ooh.
And this is the weird thing. The person like liked those tweets and then were like, oh no, I just like, it was just coincidental creation. But Anthony seemed to be satisfied with that explanation, which was fine.
All right.
So, let it go. And then this person follows me.
I don't know how people, what?
I know. People are weird.
People are weird.
I called this person like a joke thief like 5 to 10 times on Twitter, and then they like those tweets and then follow me.
It's like, oh, hey, this guy knows what's up. Let me follow him. He tells it like it is.
I don't get it at all. I don't.
I'm
so confused.
People are so strange.
I'm so confused.
Oh, you go vault.
But anyway, back to Weekend Update.
Weekend Update.
There was one last segment with Michael Che.
And that's bidets.
Yes.
Michael Bidet.
Michael Che is pro-bidet.
I'm down with that.
He was just, apparently he just got a bidet in life.
Changed your life.
He was just raving about it, about how awesome it is to have a bidet.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta clean out up there sometimes. Uh-huh. I don't think I've ever used a bidet.
I don't think I have. I would remember that.
Not about that life, but like if you got like wet wipes or something like that, you gotta clean out the pipes.
You gotta keep a clean house.
Yes, gotta scrub out the pipes.
Yeah.
As it were.
I liked at one point he just paused and went, "Shut up, Colin, you white guy." I got a kick out of that. I like that in the moment he really couldn't come up with anything more cutting than you white guy.
Sometimes that's even funnier when you can't think of something. You're like,
absolutely.
Be quiet, you.
You, you white guy.
You man, fella.
Which, but when you're talking to Colin Jost, that's...
That cuts pretty deep.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Oh, didn't he do like some type of commercial?
I texted you yesterday. I was watching TV last night. I was watching my recording of This Week at the Comedy Cellar from Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a commercial with Colin Jost advertising Izod sweaters from Kohl's, the department store.
Wow.
And I think it's literally the whitest thing
I've
seen in my life.
That's like, That is white. That's like a...
I think the only thing that could be whiter than that would be like a Klan rally.
Oh Jesus! I didn't know you were gonna go there. Holy fuck! All right, that's pretty. I was gonna say something like a polar bear in a snowstorm, and you went to like Klan.
Yeah,
good gravy.
I'm a controversial comedian.
Wow, you mix it up. Holy,
I call it like it is because that's how I get the follows on the Twitter
from Klan people and.
No, for me calling out
the
joke thieves and the Klan people.
Oh, okay, all right.
Because I tell it like it is.
I'm
on the edge.
Of I'm glory.
Edgy. Yes.
Hanging on a moon. That's Lady Gaga.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, it's not black, but I'll still explain that to you.
Okay.
Oh, good time.
Stop Darren-splaining to me.
Oh, shit. Is that, that's a new thing?
That's a new thing.
I like it.
That's a new thing that I just coined that term.
Hashtag it, Darren-splaining.
Yeah.
We're doing it. Doing big things.
Let's see.
So I caught up here. So, the next one was the Christmas Carol one, right?
The Christmas Carol sketch, yes. With Mikey Day as Scrooge, and Jason Momoa comes in. He's an extra spirit who's super fabulous.
Yeah, I didn't get so he was just an extra spirit?
It was basically just like really flamboyant and he had the big Christmas robe that you usually associate with the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Right.
And then he takes that off and he's got like this silver sparkly cape underneath it.
Yeah, it was.
And I think he had ripaway pants and he had like shorts underneath. And I mean, it was basically just an excuse to get Jason Momoa as naked as
possible. Yeah, that's what I thought though, too. Like, it's the Ghost of Christmas Present, Ghost of Christmas Past, Ghost of Christmas Future.
Yep.
And Extra Spirit.
That's what he called himself, yeah.
And he was just extra.
I was expecting him to proclaim himself like, I'm the ghost of such and so, but yeah, he never did that.
He never did it, and I was
He was just like, I'm the extra spirit, and he was just super fabulous.
Yeah, it was just,
and
and it ended really abruptly, too.
Yeah, it was just, we had Tiny Tim and the Cratchit family come in, McKinnon is Tiny Tim, and Tiny Tim is cured, and he's twerking with Tiny Tim.
Yeah, and he was like throwing dollars everywhere. It turned like a
bachelor. Oh yeah, yeah.
It turned like a bachelor.
They were making it rain.
Yeah, it turned to a bachelorette party. I was like,
yeah,
what?
Well, like I said, I think they just wanted a sketch with where they get Jason Momoa to take his clothes off.
Yeah, I did hear women yell in the audience like, "Woo! Well, yeah.
Yeah,
bachelor party!"
Yeah,
yeah. I was like, all right, well, you got what you want, ladies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and he's up for doing that, so yeah. You know, why not do it?
Yeah, if you got it, flaunt it.
Exactly.
You know, you want to show off the buns and the beefcake, then
that's right.
Have at it.
Then
after that, it was the TBS show, the TBS movie, Day of the Dorks.
Yeah, the 1985 campus comedy, Day of the Dorks, which basically Revenge of the Nerds.
Of course, Revenge of the Nerds and
spoof with Jason Momoa as Beef,
of course,
who was
Ogre.
Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds. I was impressed with myself that I remembered that name.
How could you forget Ogre?
Well, I remembered the character. I just was like, what was that character's name? Because I haven't watched Revenge of the Nerds in forever.
Okay. You don't know all the nerds like off the top of your head? You're SNL nerds. You should know all nerds all the time.
I mean, God.
There's Poindexter. There's Booger.
Remember Booger.
Lewis Skolnick.
Lewis, okay. Yeah.
And then,
who is Anthony Edwards's nerd character?
Oh, shoot. Oh, Gilbert.
Gilbert, okay.
He was Gilbert.
Okay.
Lamar.
Lamar was the black gay guy.
Black gay guy. And
there was a young, like, 12-year-old genius guy.
Wormser?
I don't know.
I think Wormser. And then there was the Asian kid. Like,
Hakashi
or something like that.
Okay.
I think that was it.
All right.
I did it.
That's impressive.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you.
And
hold your applause, please.
Yay. I remember the movies. I remember the characters. I just don't necessarily remember the character names that great.
You got some homework to do, fella.
Do I?
No.
Okay.
You know. But yeah, this sketch. Again, and this ended kind of abruptly, and it was kind of one note.
Yeah, where, like, it was. I wasn't quite sure what the central joke was supposed to be. I mean, it was we had Jason Momoa as Beef. He was like smashing up things in their frat house out of rage at the
nerds
at the dorks.
Oh, I'm sorry,
because it was Day of the Dorks.
Copyright.
And then the other guys were like, "Why are you smashing that up? That's like our stuff. You shouldn't." You should be thinking about how you're going to get the dorks.
Like, Beef's so angry at dork. Like,
and
that's the thing. Like, he wanted to, like, literally murder the dorks.
Yeah.
Like, let's kill them.
I wasn't sure if the joke was, like, he was going too far out of revenge, or if the joke was he was smashing up their stuff and the other people were calling him out on it. I mean, neither one seemed to go very far.
Yeah. I mean, they were throwing on other things, like how Beef has been there for a while. Like, he couldn't read.
Yeah.
And then one was like, you can't read. You've been here for like 8 years at this college. Why can't you?
Yeah.
It was, and then it just kind of ended. Well, it didn't kind of end, but like they brought in
Kyle Mooney
as like the undercover dork. And
yeah. Who looked eerily like Robert Carradine did in Revenge of the Nerds. I thought, it seemed a little unfocused. I wasn't quite sure what the point was. Like, maybe just somebody wanted to dress up
like
Jason Momoa as Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds, because he looked really good.
Yeah, he looked great.
He looked like the character from Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah, and I remember Ogre becomes a nerd in one of the sequels.
No, the second one, Nerds in Paradise. Yes. Of course.
Timeless classic. He discovers his inner nerd, and he becomes like one of the nerds. And
yeah. Wow, that's back when like being a nerd was a bad thing. Remember those days?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
The time changes all.
Yeah. That movie was like 84. And,
yeah. There was a time when being a nerd was like a slur. And now it's like everybody's a nerd.
Have you looked at that movie lately, though?
It's a problem.
It's a problem. I mean,
it's a problem.
Robert Carradine's character like straight up rapes the woman, the lead actress in that movie.
Yeah,
he's wearing the Darth Vader mask and he's like, yeah, I'll sleep with you.
And then he's like, hey, wait a minute, you're not my boyfriend. Like, when do you?
And she just takes it in stride. She's like,
oh, you're not my boyfriend. All right, it is cool.
Yeah, like, you weren't the guy I thought you were, but the sex was really good. So, we're all cool, and we're a couple now.
Yeah, at the time, it's like one of those things where you're like, "Oh, all right, that's cool." But you look back on it now,
yeah.
Like, and the panty raid and
the '80s, like we legit didn't think about that shit.
No, it's weird. Like you don't have to go back to the '80s. Like I'd watch, like recently, I saw American Pie, mm-hmm. and like. I totally forgot.
Oh, they're broadcasting.
Yeah,
Nadia.
Yeah, and over the internet, and like everybody's watching her
without her knowledge or consent.
Without her knowledge, and like I remember watching that movie in the theaters, thinking it was hilarious, and I look back on it now, I'm like, oh my god, that's terrifying.
And it's like wacky teenage hijinks, and then they just have like a throwaway line, and it's like, oh yeah, she was shipped back to her home country. Anyway,
you get a bone this band chick or what? <It's> like,
whoa!
Wow!
So, I mean,
yeah, we're done with your boobies. Now let's get back to this. Let's get back.
That's really what it's like.
Let's get back to prom. Yeah.
And I mean, Animal House has its problems too.
I can't
get as outraged about Animal House though, because I think Animal House knows how horrifying it's being.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if those other movies did.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's true. But I mean, honestly, I think if you look back on any teen, you know, horny teen movie, like you'll see something like it. I'm sure, I don't even, maybe if you go to look at Superbad or like Can't Hardly Wait,
Superbad, you know, the central thing in that is like, oh yeah, we'll get the girls too drunk to you know, lower their inhibitions so they don't.
Yeah, see, yeah,
I mean, but I think Superbad has a little self-awareness to it.
I think that's when people started to being like,
yeah,
wait a minute.
At the end, like, I think Michael Cera's character is like, oh, well, isn't this bad if, like, I get her drunk just to sleep with her? And they're like, no, not if you get totally drunk, too. So, which is still, like, wrong, but I think it, you know, if you have a little self-awareness, I think that makes it more forgivable.
I could see some, like, high schoolers being like, oh, yeah, that's sound logic. If I'm drunk and she, yeah, that's fine.
Right. Right.
It's like, you know, but yeah, all our teenage fans listening, that's not cool, though.
Yeah.
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 We're here to help you.
That should not be your aim.
I know you're at a crazy time right now and you're trying
The hormones are raging.
Yeah, you're just trying
And we're here for you.
We are.
You know, call in with.
Yes, call in.
With all your teenage questions about the changes happening to your body.
Oh, the phones are lighting up. Well, don't say it like that. That sounds pervy.
Okay.
But
how should we phrase it?
Call in, teens, if you have problems and stuff, in a totally non-pervy way.
Okay.
And yeah, everything's.
So I just made this podcast problematic. Is that what you're saying now?
It's pod-o-matic. There you go. Next sketch. What was the next sketch? Sleigh Ride, right?
The Winter Sleigh Ride. Yes.
Yeah.
With. Cecily Strong returning as one of her recurring characters, Gemma.
Gemma.
She says a Gemma, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm British. I have an accent.
Yeah. Who's, you know, very, very Spice Girls-y.
Yeah. I think it's based on a Spice Girls. I feel like it.
I get a real posh Spice vibe from her.
I can dig that.
If I had to assign her to a particular Spice Girl.
She's not scary. She's not baby. She's posh.
Yeah, she's definitely not Ginger. She's not baby. Who is the other? Sporty.
Sporty.
Is that all of them? There were like five.
Scary. Oh, this is like the nerds. Sporty, scary, Ginger, posh, baby.
That's it. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
I'm killing in the naming game.
You are.
I'm pretty good. So, pretty good.
So, and it was funny that the sketch came where it did in the show, because I literally, right before the sketch came on, I wrote in my notes, like, have we seen Cecily Strong at all yet in the show? Because it just occurred to me, I was like, I don't think I've seen her in anything, which is kind of unusual.
And the SNL gods heard you
they
and answered
smiled
your,
on me. And
answered your pleas.
And yes. And so, I mean, the premise of this is always the same. It's Gemma and her boyfriend.
Right. It's always a different boyfriend.
And it's always a different... But Jason Momoa's perfect casting as the annoying boyfriend.
Right.
He fulfilled that role very well. And they're bothering some mild acquaintance that the boyfriend knew from somewhere. And yeah, they're just disrupting their good time.
Yeah, and they're just saying, you know, insane off-the-wall things. Like, I was like, oh,
I got a brand new vagina today.
Exactly. It's like, today?
How did you do that? We had Kenan Thompson and Leslie Jones as the couple. They were annoying.
Right, because Leslie Jones was hoping Kenan would propose, and Kenan's like, hey, let's hold off on that.
Which I kind of liked that running through the sketch. That was funny. That was cute.
Yeah, I dug that. But yeah, it was interesting. And then he like jumped, like Jason Momoa jumped off the sled midway through the sketch. I was like,
that's
interesting.
And that
ended abruptly too, I think.
It ended kind of abruptly, and there was a weird sort of technical screw-up I noticed, because the camera stayed on Cecily and Jason while Kenan and Leslie were talking. And
they do that sometimes.
But you know, SNL, honestly, it doesn't have that many technical screw-ups like that, which...
I feel like I've seen that before, like where the camera's on whoever's not talking... And the person who's talking is talking.
Yeah, it really surprised me, though, because you don't usually see that type of thing on the show. So it stood out to me.
Okay.
So.
All right.
You know, this was fine. It wasn't great. It wasn't horrible. It honestly felt kind of like they were maybe throwing Cecily a bone just so she had something on the show this week.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, just like, Cecily didn't have anything.
You wonder if like she had some other big sketch that got cut for whatever reason.
It's possible. And, yeah, I mean, we don't know the inner workings. Like, I'm sure there's other sketches.
Lauren doesn't call us up anymore.
He doesn't respond to my
text. Jason Momoa is not communicating with us through the fish as much as we would like.
I'll talk to the cod again and see.
Yeah,
be like,
yeah.
Yo, cod,
I'll give the crabs a call.
Oh.
Not like that.
Tee-hee-hee.
Then we had, let's see, this was one of the last sketches. It was First Impression, which is another film thing.
It seemed like a Mooney... Bennett sketch.
It seems like that. I just
don't get it.
A lot of their stuff is just kind of, it feels like weird for the sake of being weird. This was a film segment. Beck Bennett, he was meeting, he's the boyfriend of Melissa Villaseñor, and he's meeting her parents for the first time. Her parents were played by Heidi Gardner and Jason Momoa. Mm. And it was cool to see Jason Momoa made up as like this middle-aged guy with a pot belly, and
it was like, oh, wow.
That was kind of cute.
Right. See, that's what a comedy guy should look like.
Yeah, exactly. Schlumpy.
That's right. Schlumpy is funny.
And Beckman decides to impress them by playing hide and seek.
Yeah.
And Jason Momoa starts tearing apart the house trying to find him.
Yeah, it's like impish thing, like, you can't find me.
Yeah, you're just hearing his voice,
like,
and Jason Momoa is like literally smashing through walls and things. And
as
then
you do,
he finally, as you do when you're a pumped up comedy guy.
Of course.
And Beck Bennett, they finally find him. He's all greased up and shirtless, and he's hiding behind the entertainment unit.
Yeah, I was like, huh.
And they decide they like him because of that, and it was just weird. I didn't find it particularly funny. It was just there.
I don't know. I mean, is there a group of people that like these Bennett Mooney sketches?
Well, I mean, there has to be. I think there has to be. They have to have a following.
I mean, I know I don't expect them to have like, you know, that Lonely Island following. Like, everybody loves them, and like their videos get a bunch of follows and retweets or whatever. But I don't know. All these videos, they always seem to like kind of fall flat with the audience. And maybe it's just me, or like I never hear anybody say, "Oh, those Mooney Beckett sketches are awesome."
I find them a mixed bag. I'm not gonna say they've never done anything I've liked.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I really like them. Sometimes I'm just like, "Yeah, that didn't work," or "That was just weird."
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, one of the things I admire about SNL is they do all sorts of different types of humor. So
that's true.
I don't necessarily expect every single sketch to be for me.
Right. Sometimes it'll be, you know, right in your wheelhouse. Other times it'll just be just over your head.
Yeah,
I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
And I think by the nature of the show, it's just always going to be a mixed bag.
This is true.
You know, that one I didn't like too much, but I thought the next sketch was great.
The final sketch.
The final sketch with Pete Davidson as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I'm watching it, and, you know, you've been seeing, like, lots of things about Rudolph online lately, and talking about, like, oh, you know, there's all this bullying in the special, and that's not right. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's, like, the point of the story is he's bullied, and then people learn the error of their ways, and that he...
Right.
The thing they're bullying him for is like his special skill.
People get bullied. I mean, just because you show the bullying doesn't mean you're pro bullying.
Yeah, yeah, it's that's like, and that's a weird criticism of it. But this I thought had a nice twist on it where they had, Jason Momoa, he comes in as Santa, and Pete Davidson is playing Rudolph. And the other reindeer are making fun of him.
Right, neon nose.
Yes, and then when Santa says, "Hello, we'll have you guide my sleigh." Then Santa leaves the room, and then Rudolph becomes a bully himself.
Right, he's, exactly.
Because like, the tables have turned.
Like, well. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
And then he just bullies everybody, and is like, "Oh, and like, say something to me." And then he gets like Comet. He gets Comet shot somehow.
Yeah, I think he brags that he nailed Cupid's wife.
Yes.
And then he makes Comet suck on Rudolph's nose.
Right.
Or Rudolph makes Comet suck on his nose. And then Santa comes back in, and I think he says, like, oh, Comet's gone crazy. He's rabid.
Yeah.
And Santa shoots Comet.
He's like, I knew this day would come. And he just pulled out a shotgun out of nowhere. All right, it's funny.
I like this because I thought it was really funny. It was dark and it had a twist I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
I thought all the performances were great. Pete Davidson did a great job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it ended abruptly, but...
Yeah.
I did dig it.
But I thought it was funny. I think it should have been earlier in the show. I think...
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, that might have been my favorite sketch of the night. Let me look through and see if there's anything.
I'm kind of partial to the GE Big Boys, but this one is
that good. Was really good. That was really good.
The Rudolph's thing was pretty.
You know, the elves on the shelves thing that was pretty good.
That's right.
I like the black trumps. That was
Trumps.
The,
see,
okay.
See, I'm explaining black stuff to you right now.
All right,
them trumps. That was it. And Jason Momoa came out, said thanks to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he was wearing shoes or not. And,
I don't know. It was very energetic.
Yeah, he was game. I'll give him that. Throughout the whole show, he was like, "Let's do this."
Yeah, I mean, and that's the big thing that I want from a host is them to be game and enthusiastic and do most anything that they throw at them. And I think Jason Momoa was a good host in that regard. I would not mind if they brought him back.
No, I think he'll probably be back.
He's a real likable, charismatic guy. I mean, I find him very difficult to dislike.
Yeah.
And him being like super muscular,
bro
type guy, he should be a real easy guy to dislike, but I just find him pretty charming.
Yeah, he has a certain joie de vivre.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like almost like The Rock and, you know, John Cena, where like they're aware of how they may look or come across, and they're able to like kind of, you know, joke along with that. And they just have like a certain charisma that people are like, all right, well, I think you're
a little charisma and some self-deprecation will go a long, long way.
That's right.
I think. And
it took me this far.
That's right. That's right. And I'm looking forward to Aquaman. I want to see that movie. I want to.
Okay. No, I mean, I'm still
Darren. Not so much, Darren. I mean, on the fence.
I'm still on the fence about it. I'm like, I might watch it. I might not. I have not.
I like the looks of it. I think the trailer looks good. I like...
From the reviews I've seen, they've all been pretty positive.
Mm-hmm.
People
mm-hmm.
have seen it in advance, and they're like, it's a fun movie, and they're like... I mean, but then again, as far as DC goes, like, the bar is kind of...
Yeah, I mean, but that's all I really want from, like, a comic book movie. I just want a fun time. I want some cool spectacles, some cool action. And, I mean, he's not who I would have personally cast as Aquaman, but... I mean, I find him a charming, charismatic guy, so I want to see what he brings to the party.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all think of as the old Aquaman, like a blonde, you know, a blonde white man in a, you know, orange top and green leggings. But and so now they're going to go for this, you know, huge bearded tan fellow, and it's definitely a different direction, but he's, people seem to be, you know, like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick Fury's black. Let's go with this.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world to mix it up a bit and try to make
it's not.
These things a little more inclusive, because most of these characters, they were created at a time where, well, you know, white guy was like considered the default.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's good to mix it up a bit.
Darn too.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and I hope I hope that movie does well. And
I think it, I have a feeling it will. I think it's going to do pretty. I mean, like Jason Momoa, people like him. Women like to stare at him. Yeah. And
you got the Amber Heard in there for the fellas.
Amber Heard.
You got Dolph Lundgren. You got
Dolph's in this?
Dolph Lundgren is in it. Willem Dafoe is in it.
Willie D.
Patrick Wilson is in it.
Patty Wills. Who's coming up with nicknames?
Other people
and the rest.
Yes, the professor and Marianne are both in the Aquaman movie.
Aquaman movie.
But that was it for this week's episode.
Yeah, not a bad episode.
Not a bad episode. I thought it was pretty good. Pretty decent.
Our voice is getting really. It's all right.
It's all right. It's all right. Good. You know, it's all right.
Wow. The levels are going off.
So next week we have Mr. Matt Damon, and the musical guests are Mark Ronson and Miley Cyrus.
Matt, Mark, and Miley.
That's right. It's a big M show.
That's right. Mike
House
Myers.
Of M.
Mike Myers has a cameo.
That is the December 15th. Show,
and that's the final show of the.
I'm assuming their last show of the year.
Yeah,
yes.
and then again after that, well, I mean, if they take a break, but we'll still be doing episodes.
Like, that's right. We've got plans. We know
we got plans. We're planning.
Earlier this week, SNL they did a little Christmas special. We're gonna talk about that during one of the skip weeks.
Right. We'll do that, and then I don't know. We're still figuring this podcast out, so we'll definitely have some, you know, episodes. Maybe. I think greatest host we've talked about that. Greatest guest host. We might do an episode focused on SNL writers. I think there was another one.
Why Chevy Chase is a jerk.
Oh, boy.
That's, you know, that can fill an hour.
That is going to be, that's going to be slanderous.
We're going
to. We're going to hear Chase. We're going to hear from Chase's people.
We're going to carefully source that one.
And we'll put this out. Another idea we had is people who were, this actually made it. This idea, I think we came from my sister who listens. Hey, Melanie.
Ooh, hey, Melanie.
Yeah, yeah. So it's people who were on SNL but got way bigger after SNL.
Yes.
Like Robert Downey Jr. or something like that. Like, people don't even know he was on it.
Yep, but it was yep.
But he was on SNL, and like people kind of remember it, but then he went on to become like a huge star and Iron Man.
So he did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We might do an episode like that, or people who... audition and who didn't make it onto SNL but became huge stars.
Right, regardless. Like Mr. Steve Carell.
Steve Carell.
Jim Carrey.
I heard he didn't. He didn't audition.
He did not.
I know. Cause I listened to this other podcast called The Hollywood Reporter, and like I think the guy asked him if he auditioned. He said he didn't. But, you know, his wife Nancy Wall got on, but like I've heard he did, but I don't know.
Okay.
But anyway, I mean, the big ones that did audition, of course, Jim Carrey, of course, that's a huge one. Like, I don't know how you pass on him. Zach Galifianakis auditioned, didn't get on.
True.
Kevin Hart, we were just talking about him. He auditioned, didn't get on. And there's a few others. Lisa Kudrow, I think, auditioned, didn't get on. There's like a bunch of them out there. And maybe we'll just do an episode about that.
That's right. So those are the things we're talking about. If you have ideas for what you would like us to talk about during one of the skip weeks, one of the off weeks when the show is not on, but we're still doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Tweet at us. We're both on Twitter. I'm at Trumbull Comic on Twitters.
I'm at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible.
Yes.
Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, and just tweet at us. Use the hashtag SNL Nerds if you could. You know,
please.
Because we want to get that trending. We also have a Facebook page.
Got a Facebook page up.
SNL Nerds.
Big things are happening.
And if you want to go to non-productive.com, we have a Patreon.
Yeah.
So you can contribute to that.
Yeah.
And just indicate the SNL Nerds or the show that you want to support. And
we get a little operating costs.
Yeah, we get a little taste of that.
We get a little.
We wet our beak.
I'm rubbing my fingers together right now.
Yeah.
Little universal gesture for money.
Moolah. Clams.
The cheddar.
The buckaroos.
Yeah.
Dollarinis.
Yeah. So we want to get some of that.
Yes, wet our beak.
Okay, some this sounds that. Really pervy now.
It does.
It does.
It always devolves into perviness.
It does.
Hubba hubba. And that's our show, guys.
That is our show. So that is it for this week. But we will see you next week with Matt Damon, Mark Ronson, Miley Cyrus.
Matt, Mark, and Miley. Yeah, and I'm sure they're going to put like a Brett Kavanaugh sketch in there somewhere, but we'll...
Could be.
I don't know. He's been kind of out of the news, so I don't know how they're going to work it, but we'll find
yeah,
out.
Yeah, who knows? We'll see. It'll be... I mean, has Matt Damon hosted before? I honestly don't remember.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. I don't remember.
It feels like he did, because I know...
Affleck definitely has, but...
Yeah.
Damon, I don't believe so.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up. We'll have to look that up and figure that out.
Guys, call in.
So, call in. Call into this tape show where we don't have a phone set up.
What? Yeah, but, yeah, but you know, just call in.
But that is we'll it for this it. Week. We will see you next week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for making it through.
Thanks, guys.
Love you.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.